Well, hi, everybody, and I'm going to begin a section of a book, and maybe that's the best way to operate. I wish, of course, there were time to do all of the books, but, you know, in any one incarnation, there is not such time. So I'm going to begin with the six stages of discipleship, maybe in volume one of Discipleship in the New Age. Maybe I'll then go to the beginning. Now, I've done some work on that already in an earlier kind of incarnation of the Moria Federation. It was called IANS, International Association of New Esoteric Schools. But those are written. And I think something can be derived from a commentary which is more verbal. So that's what I'm going to undertake at the present time. And I'll be very happy to have you with us because I think something of real importance can be understood from this material. So it is section three in the book, section one. He introduces the whole idea of the kinds of groups that he was going to build around him as master's groups, which were, in a sense, outposts of his ashram. And section two were the letters to individuals. And I think there's another group within the Moria Federation or associated with it, that is undertaking a careful analysis astrologically and maybe rheologically of those individual students. Maybe we'll one day get into that. And then section three here and section four will be concerning his work overall. So these are the six stages of discipleship. And it just begins with summarizing what they are. So let's take a look at that. Now, you know, I'm referring back and forth a little bit to the to the original text. The six stages of discipleship. Okay. There we go. Okay, so number one, the stage wherein the disciple is contacted by the master through another chela on the physical plane. And this is called, excuse me, this is the stage of little chelaship associated, I think, quite a bit with the first initiation. Now the question is, will the chela who is contacted recognize the disciple and cooperate with what the outer disciple or the disciple on the physical plane may suggest? This is by no means always the case. But we're assuming here that there is going to be recognition. Now, next is Okay, so this is called Little Chelyship, and I'm going to just mark it as such. And the next one, the stage where a higher disciple who can function apparently on the egoic level directs the chela from the egoic level, and this stage is called chela in the light. Now, what is interesting, and you may have remembered this, is that when Master DK was that higher disciple, AAB was a chela in the light to him. And they developed their facility of rapport somewhat at that time. So, interestingly, let's see. Now, I want to make sure that everything is clear and we know the difference between what I'm writing and what Master DK is writing. Qualitatively, there's no question, but let's just try to make it as visually clear as possible. Chela in the light. Then the stage wherein, according to necessity, and that's an important point, not just a casual contact, the master contacts the chela through a vivid dream experience, a symbolic teaching, the using of a thought form of the master, a contact in meditation, or a definitely remembered interview in the master's ashram. Any one of these five is a possibility. So this true discipleship is beginning here. We can call it, and especially, you know, when we have that interview in the master's ashram, a symbolic teaching, okay? The using of a thought form of the master, as long as one is not deceived, because there are other thought forms of the master that are present and misleading. A contact in meditation. That will be recognized, and a definite remembered interview in the master's ashram. One would think that high disciples would remember, but not always remember when DK had to remind FCD of the substance of the interview, which FCD had with Master KH. So we would think that for the high disciple it would always come through, and in the case of Master in the case of Roberto Saggioli, FCD, freedom from ties, chelaship, detachment, I think those were the code words there, the keynote words. One would think it would come through, but DK had to fill this in. And so this is definitely the stage of accepted disciple. And naturally, we will want to know, again, without ambition, more or less, where we stand. And then, point four, the stage we're in, having shown his wisdom in work and his appreciation of the master's problem, as, of course, the master has a lot to do, and many and varied responsibilities and things which have to be solved. The chela is taught how and in emergencies, notice, not just casually when he would like to experience the vibration of the master, to attract the master's attention and thus draw on his strength and knowledge and advice. And this instantaneous, this is an instantaneous happening and practically takes none of the master's time. The stage has the peculiar name of chela on the thread, or on the sutratma. But notice, in emergencies, and according, I would say, according to real necessity, and with deep respect for how very involved the master is in solving manifold problems. So, and it would have to be on ashramic business. And not a casual contact. Then, the stage wherein the chela is permitted to know the method whereby he may set up a vibration and a call, which will entitle him to an interview with the master. Well, this is only permitted, he says, to trusted chelas who can be depended upon not to seek the knowledge for anything except the need of the work. No personality distress or reason would prompt them to use it. So the requirements are stiff, and the rules are clear. And this stage is called the one within the aura, or chela, you know, within the aura. It would be good to memorize these and understand their basic functioning. And more details will follow. And number six, the stage wherein the chela can get his master's ear at any time. He is in close touch always. This is the stage wherein a chela is being definitely prepared for an immediate initiation, or having taken initiation, is being given specialized work to do in collaboration with his master. So let's just say he can get the master's ear at any time. But again, only the work of the ashram will allow him to take the time of the master. And the chela at this stage is described as the one within the master's heart. It's not a sentimental stage. It has a deeper occult meaning. So there is a still later stage of still closer identification, and we can, I think, maybe put that in as a number 7, kind of, where there is a blending of the lights, but there is no adequate paraphrase of terms to cover the name. But I will put down the blending of the lights, which I think is a good enough way to remember it. Seven stages in all. The 6 stages mentioned above have been paraphrased for occidental understanding and must in no way be considered translations of the ancient terms. So, he's always giving us little warnings, and if we had a friend who was a Tibetan scholar, that friend would not find the stages under such names as we are being given. So, you know, in summary, Chela within the light, little Chelaship, Chela within the light, accepted discipleship, Chela on the thread, Chela in the aura, Chela in the heart, in the master's heart, and a Chela experiencing with the master the blending of the lights, presumably a very high stage. And I would say, you know, before so many of us, I think we've all passed the stage or going through it of little chelaship, and many are involved in the stage of chela in the light, and the goal is accepted discipleship, and then beyond that we can move into the higher strata of more direct contact with the master. So DK begins by listing them. And then he gives, continuing a little bit more, 6 words for disciples. And he makes it easy or easier to understand because he keeps them all with the letter R. So it's a useful mnemonic. He does that often, you know, with D's and, you know, such as discipline, dispassion, decentralization, discrimination, decentralization, detachment, all the D's. He uses that for eyes as well. Individualization, initiation, identification. And here are some words to ponder. So with recollection, we gather ourselves together, gather our thoughts, and focus them in one particular direction. with response, we respond to the higher as it begins to affect the invocation by the lower. So we send up a call, and there is a response. Then with radiation, this can be considered to be a kind of result of a greater stimulation that comes because of the response of the higher to the lower. And this would be involved in service, which is the one way of looking at it, the spontaneous radiation of the soul-infused personality. And with the radiation, a certain sound increases. And we would say, this sound is heard in the environment and indicates presence of a server. Environment. And then comes the breathing back and forth in the four phases of meditation. So we have the inhalation, higher interlude, exhalation, lower interlude, four stages of breathing. Magical work. And then reunion, which is at one-ment with the soul. It's a kind of a yogic term, really. Yoga, I'll put it in. Union with the soul and in general, soul infusion. And then, because of that union, a point of tension that was not achieved before can be achieved and will reveal a new goal or destiny, and one will face the East yet again, reorienting his aspiration towards that which is revealed. So a clear vision of the plan, and we might say through the changing, through the elevation, really, of the point of tension. So, recollection, response, radiation, respiration, reunion, reorientation. It all begins with concentration and ends with the possibility of a new goal towards which we aspire and a new point of tension that we attempt to achieve, and once we achieve it, we hold it. But this is all part of the creative magical work whereby we can assist with the precipitation of the divine plan. Okay. Now, you know, some of these are are old commentary stanzas, and Yes, discipleship and pain, they are very good. And from the old commentary again, all of these are old commentary stanzas and have to be interpreted symbolically. And then he begins with the work of a little chelaship at some point here. But he kind of lays an outline down. And gets into the second part. And maybe we'll begin to elaborate on those aspects. And his work with Little Chelaship looks like it begins here on page 713, and then he elaborates, I think, on the other stages. At least I hope so. I think so. Chela in the light, yes, he does. Okay. So we'll get to that, but right now we're in an earlier phase where we're going to start undertaking a look at some of these old commentary stanzas. So the next thing that is offered is from the old commentary, and it's very rich symbolically, and shows us the long climb that we have undergone to our present state. And probably we can locate ourselves, not in the very beginning anymore, nor necessarily not at the end. Stage one, the life has climbed the stairway long, the long evolutionary ladder, through daily use of form in many kingdoms, through the lesser three, the monad has climbed through the mineral, vegetable and animal kingdoms, with progress slow, experiencing the group soul, and rising through what other extensions of the monad have done, along with the extension that, in a sense, he is. Through the lesser three, with progress slow, the long path has been traveled, very long. This, of course, long predates individualization. But in another way, we can say that we are entering at this point upon the human stage, though very preliminary and savage and Martian. The words sound forth, enter upon the way of real desire, or sometimes I think that word should be red desire. And I'm willing to look it up, but I do think that it will still show the word real. And I feel it should be read. But okay, maybe this is a focused and somewhat conscious desire. The life that only knows itself as form, and there are so many people today for whom this still is more or less the case, enshrouds itself in vivid red. The red of known desire, it's Martian red, really. And through the red, all longed for forms approach, are grasped and held. The attachment problem begins early, used and discarded, as there is eventually a distaste for that which was so ardently desired, until the red changes to rose, and the rose to palest pink, and pink to white. Forth flowers then the pure white rose of life, and all of this will affect the astral body. But at first, we have the red of Mars. And that is simply the way it has to be in the savage state. Think about that phrase, the life that only knows itself as form. And think about how many people there are even today who believe that what they are is the body, and that there is nothing separable from the body, which a study of the constitution of man, if taken seriously, would reveal. So this is, all of this is the transmutation, all of this process is the transmutation of desire from red finally to white, at which time it would seem that the Buddhic energy could enter into the area from which desire springs. The tiny rose of living life is seen in bud, not yet the full-blown flower. And, you know, we might say that even millions of years can be involved in this process of grasping, holding, and rejecting. Always what we grasp as if it were the final possible object of desire must be relinquished until we learn that the seeker and the sought are one, are the same. It's a sixth ray little mantra. Then stage two comes and the picture changes, which means that the environmental images change. Another voice coming from close at hand utters another phrase, close at hand, not highly elevated, and the voice of the personality. Utters another phrase, and the life, which is the monadic extension, let's call it that. Continues on its way. Enter the field where children play and join their game. Awaken to the game of life. The soul passes the gate, not the gate of initiation, but that particular gate. And the color then is green. The playing field is green. And, you know, it is noteworthy that golf courses and hockey fields and, you know, many, many other places where the games are played are green. Baseball, you know, I can't think of them all, but football, yeah. American football. Soccer, the green field. So join the game. And who are the children? Still relatively early humanity. The field is green, and on its broad expanse, the many forms of the one moving life. There is only one life, and all of its movements are, in a way, one movement. Disport themselves, and notice how the word sport is included here. They weave the dance of life and many pattern forms God takes. The soul enters the playground of the Lord and plays thereon until he sees the star with five bright points and says, possessively, right? My star. So, ambition enters. And, one wishes to become a star. How many people, you know, glamorously go to Hollywood or wherever films are being made or plays are being presented and wish to become famous as a star? So the field is green, and this is the playground of the Lord, and the real serious issues are not yet understood. The seriousness of life is not understood, and everything is a game. Even the playing the markets, playing the races, you know, the stock market and so forth. It's a game. And methods with pretty high intelligence are used to game the system. But then something happens. And he sees the star with five bright points. Now, if I could only put that in orange, because it's the color of pride, you know, in a way. Well, I'm just going to do it that way. I can't, I don't have a overlighter with orange. My star. So we might say that this is even, in a way, the seeking of prominence under orange Leo. And towards the fifth petal of the egoic lotus. I guess there's no way to stop going through this period of ambition. One can be on the team, but then one wants to be the quarterback or maybe the pitcher or, you know, someone a little more prominent on the team. So this is an early version of the Star of Initiation, which flashes forth at every initiation, first through third, and then in different ways beyond that initiation. All of us, it is somehow said, maybe in the Secret Doctrine, have each descended from a certain star. Now, I don't know how much credit we can give to that, but certainly in our descent, as the monad in extension, we have passed through various solar systems, or constellations, we might say. Look at the word solar system, and you can see, yes, it can be applied to a single star with its planets, but a solar system can also be a system of stars, and therefore a constellation, and therefore an example of the expression of a cosmic logos. So now stage three, and it's more mental. The way of red desire loses its allure. We don't want the crude kinds of things we did at first, which are, you know, in a way strictly physical, and they fail to satisfy. The playground of the sons of God no longer holds appeal. It's just a game. It's not serious. It's not real. And something there begins to be understood about what it means to play games and what it means to be real. The voice which has twice sounded from out the world of form, you know, we might say, and he, let's just say, as he says, near at hand, and thus from the personality, sounds now within the heart. Heart, Leo, orange, star, five-pointed, all those things fit together. The challenge comes, prove thine own worth. Take to thyself the orange ball of thy one-pointed purpose. Well, you know, it's kind of like the leader in the games or beyond the games. So I turn it into orange, but not quite happy in doing so. I'd like the orange highlighter. Responsive to the sounded word, and we have to say from the personality, the living soul, the living soul, which is really the monadic extension, immersed in form. We call it then the soul in incarnation, emerges from the many forms and hews its onward way, cutting down the opposition. In a very self-assertive manner. The way of the destroyer comes, the builder, and again the tearer down of forms. So Leo has this first great part in its nature. And the ego, the lower ego, can be, often is, destructive. The builder and the tearer down of forms. The broken forms hold not the power to satisfy. They are of the red and the green. And the soul's own form is now the great desire, the causal body, the egoic lotus, the higher self. And thus there comes the entering of the playground of the mind, Leo is important in this with its orange color. Sorry. And its presence of Ray 5 also, in addition to the destructive Ray 1. Okay. So these are the people who are asserting themselves as individuals. We see it in politics all the time. But they may also begin to enter the field of mental distinction. I remember Dane Rudyard speaking of a very brilliant man. Could I but remember his name right now, who asserted mental overlordship over those he contacted. It was definitely a Leo phase of assertion. But in all these dreams and fantasies, for that which is of the personality is but a load of dreams and fantasies compared to the real, at times a vision comes. A vision of a folded lotus flower, close petaled, you know, we might say the not yet unfolded soul body, but especially the three petals surrounding the jewel in the lotus. So a vision of a folded lotus flower, close petaled, tightly sealed, lacking aroma as yet, but bathed in cold blue light. And we remember how blue and orange are considered to be complements. Okay, wait a second. There we go. Yes, oh, there we go. Okay. Orange and blue in some more distant time will blended be, but far off yet seems the date. And this would be the complete unfoldment of the egoic lotus. And true functioning within the soul body. Their blending bathes the bud in light and causes future opening. Let the light shine. So we might say the concrete mind and the higher mind blending brings forth the light. But that blending must occur in the future, and then there will be a radiant egoic lotus ready for its destruction or sublimation. Okay. Stage four. Well, maybe, you know, maybe we can be talking about with stage three. looking forward to the transfiguration, the third initiation, stage four. Now this is a big test. Into the dark the life proceeds, and a different voice seems to sound forth. And we would say certainly not voice of the personality. And we have to go into that stage where we are neither on the fixed cross nor yet the cardinal cross, at least moving towards that, which means moving towards, however long it may take, the fourth initiation. So into the dark, the life proceeds. This is a kind of an inevitability through which all of us have to pass. And a different voice seems to sound forth, and this would be the voice of the soul, or the voice of the silence. Enter the cave and find your own. And this suggests your discipleship group. Walk in the dark, and on your head carry a lighted lamp. The light of the soul has descended as far as the top of the head. It has to go all the way down, surrounding the, or stimulating the pineal gland. Enter the cave and find your own. Well, it's a stage that maybe a number of us find ourselves passing through now, perhaps. And immediately we are struck with the tradition of the apparent loneliness, apparent, of the disciple. Because you have to, the cave, demanding subjective life. Just as in the new schools, you have your own chamber, not shared. You have to go into your own deep subjectivity. The cave is dark and lonely, cold it is, and a place of many sounds and voices from the astral plane and lower mind. The cave is dark and lonely. It is a place of many sounds and many voices. And I'm sure that this kind of loneliness has been experienced. What's a good cave color? How about this gray? It's not quite dark enough, is it? I wish I had a better palette than I do. The voices of the many sons of God left playing on the playground of the Lord make their appeal for light. So the green is calling out to the darkness. And the darkness must respond. Green calls out to darkness, and response must come if one is the true disciple. The cave is long and narrow. You're not given much latitude. Not much latitude to go astray. And the air is full of fog, which you might call glamour, or the product fire and water, and the sound of running water, the astral plane, meets the rushing sound of wind. The dynamics of the astral plane meet the rushing sound of wind, the dynamics of the mental plane, and the frequent roll of thunder. Let's get that straight. Now, thunder is sometimes the symbol of the word of the second ray. But lightning is required for the thunder to peal forth. So in this cave, the sound of glamour and illusion are everywhere. Everywhere found, everywhere detected. And, you know, are we bothered by the glamours? Do we have them? Do we detect the illusions we have? The combination of the two, glamour and illusion, resulting in more chaotic living on the outer plane. But there's hope, okay? We're not just trapped in this glamorous illusion, this long and narrow cave, this forced subjectivity, this cutting off, apparently, from the higher light, which we so much need for the dispelling of illusion and the dissipation of glamour and the dispersion of outer chaos, far off, dim, yet, we might say, as yet, and most vaguely seen, and we might say, as yet, appears an oval opening. Its color blue. Now, the causal body is often of an oval shape, not always. Sometimes elongated, sometimes circular, round, but maybe this is the vision of the causal body, of the color blue, because of the generic second-ray nature of the causal body. Not that every causal body is colored by the second ray specifically, but generically, yes. And stretched athwart this space of blue, a rosy cross is seen. So this is high aspiration leading to sacrifice. Brothers of the Rosy Cross, the Rosicrucians, and it has to do with a willing sacrificial allowing of oneself to be crucified, is to go through the great renunciation. Stretched athwart this space of blue, a rosy cross is seen, and at the center of the cross, where four arms meet, a rose. And this is the rose of Christhood. Distinguished by sacrifice. So, this is a new and hopeful indication for the one trapped in that long and narrow space in which there's so much psychological suffering. And at the center of the cross, where forearms meet, a rose, and probably a red rose. Indicating the kind of sacrifice at least experienced in the West. And upon the upper limb, still higher than the causal body, a vibrant diamond shines within a star five-pointed. Well, that vibrant diamond can be considered the monad shining as a diamond within the five-pointed soul, that monad being also extended as the jewel in the lotus. I think that's one way to look at it. The living soul drives forward toward the cross. The word drive suggests something interesting. We might call it following the driving energies of the rising sign forward toward the cross, which bars his way to life, the life of the monad, the life of being revealed and known. But first, the great renunciation, giving up all of those attachments which before were so dear. Not yet the cross is mounted. This cross between the fixed cross and the cardinal cross. Not yet. And therefore, left behind, you know, when the Christ stands as that great statue in over Rio stands, there's no cross, but the arms are in the form of a cross because they have been trained to be so because of the great renunciation or crucifixion. But onward goes the living soul, eyes fixed upon the cross, and the necessity of renunciation and ears open to the wailing cries of his brother's soul, thus possessed of the bodhisattvic impulse. So, you know, the compassion, the saviorship, all of those, the determination to lift and save is strongly given. Well, stage five, finally. Out into radiant life and light. The cave is left behind, the cross is overturned, the way stands clear. And that way is the way towards mastership. The word sounds clear within the head and not within the heart, as it will at the fifth initiation. Enter the playground of the Lord, and this time lead the games. Well, this is mastership. And all of the suffering of the cross and the ultimate dark night of the soul is past, our past. And the path of evolution has reached its climax in mastership. Has reached its climax in mastership. Now, there is a higher way. The way upon the second tier of stairs stands barred, and this by the soul's own act. The way of higher evolution stands barred so far. Now that would be from Chohanship and onward. But no longer red desire governs all the life as it did in the beginning, but now the clear blue flame burns strong, suggesting suggesting the soul of our planetary logos and of our solar logos, blue, because we do live in the blue system. Upon the bottom step of the barred way, he turns back and passes down the stairs onto the playground as a bodhisattva, one who gives up his own progress for the progress of others. He revolves upon the pedestal of light, and lo, the face of those upon that path receives the outward streaming light from the seven centers through which it passes, and for them the way is not so dark. And back he goes, meeting dead shells built in an earlier stage, stages in which others are now involved, but not he, stepping upon forms discarded and destroyed, and showing his detachment to all those forms left behind, and holding forth the hands of helpfulness, the world server and the world savior. Upon his shoulder sits the bird of peace. It reminds one of Shambhala. Shambhala being the only place of perfect peace on our planet. And upon his feet, the sandals of the messenger. One of the rules, particularly the mark of the messenger in his feet, shows this, one of the later rules. And it reminds one of Sanat Kumara issuing forth the statement, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So he can bring the peace, let's just say, just as the Christ will bring the peace 1,000 years symbolically during the age of Aquarius. Not yet the utter glory of the radiant life, not yet the fully monadic life, nor yet the entering into everlasting peace, maybe, or the way of higher evolution, but still the work at least on our planet and within the personality of the planetary logos, and still the lifting of the little ones from the green field. and even from other higher fields which are not yet characterized by the quality which comes with sacrifice and renunciation. So you can see how hi, but that's not what I want. Discipleship in the New Age, okay. Well, okay, had a little trouble there, but suddenly everything disappeared, but we had just reached the end of this, up to page 676, and this has been called The Sublimation of the Five Human Stages. So from 676, we go to the very beginning, and that takes us from 670 to 676. Okay. Now, let's see if I can do this properly. Okay, so I got there. Well, okay, I think this will be the place for us to break off this program one. It's a very important section. And remember what Master DK said, use this book to attract people into the ashram. He said that of Discipleship Volume 1, maybe not so much of Discipleship Volume 2, which is an important manual for initiation. So we'll take this up before long. Six stages of discipleship video commentary. And I'll put in the word video commentary. Sometimes when I press things too fast, I think I've lost everything. And that went on for 10 minutes. But anyway, it is recorded and you can begin to think about these things, if otherwise you are not. So we'll begin then next time with discipleship and pain. And then we'll get into something from the old commentary. And then we'll see how far we can go. Yes, discipleship and its end. Wonderful stanzas, which require symbolic interpretation, of course. And that will exercise what will bring you to your intuition. And then he really gets into the book, part one, you know. He's told you what he's going to do, and now he's going to do it. So we'll look at that shortly. And for the moment, hopefully you'll be able to begin on this, but remember, I should remember, Initiation, Human and Solar, complete written commentary. Letters on Occult Meditation, a complete video commentary. Cosmic Fire, a complete written commentary, except for the last 100 pages, which are video. Selections, then, from Esoteric Psychology 1 and 2, and especially video commentaries on selections from Volume 2. Ongoing work with Glamour, a World Problem. Maybe half of the book is done in our Glamour exercises and meditations. There is the complete video commentary on externalization of the hierarchy, complete video commentary on a treatise on white magic. Am I leaving anything out? You know, Tuya and I present what we can when we do the reappearance of the Christ meditation. But that book will have to be done, I think, in video commentary. Oh, yes. Did I say the Rays and the Initiations, half of the book, a completely written commentary, and the other half, after the 12 rules are given, 14 rules, is a completing of the rest with a video commentary. So Rays and the Initiations are there. When it comes to esoteric healing, well, there are so many good books on esoteric healing, and for the moment, it's not my field, but there's so much information in there that is, it just adds to the whole, and we'll see whether it's possible to take that up. It's a very large book, humongous book, and, you know, I'm very happy with all the other things that have been done, and maybe there's a little something that I can add. Have I accomplished and shown what is there? Let's see. I just want to kind of summarize what I have done. And now, of course, working on the latter part of Discipleship in the New Age, and there is commentary on quite a bit, written commentary on the first part of that book. Initiation of Human and Solar, I think I said, written commentary. Well, there's still more to do. Still more to do. So one tries to get this physical body to hold up under the stress so that a bridge, or we can help, that is, with making a bridge towards the new esoteric teaching that will come out in the third series of bridging treatises that the Tibetan intends to write, starting around the year 2025. Around the year 2020. There have been other attempts to say, well, this is the Tibetan, but you'll know what is accurate and what is not, and what only the Tibetan teacher could offer, and what otherwise a well-read, thoughtful student could offer. It's not the same. So, this will be available to you shortly. Lots of love and many blessings, and on we go.